Welcome to the podcast of Dr. Michael Jacobs. We believe today's message will help you walk in faith and have victory now.
Let's turn to the book of Colossians tonight, today, this morning, whatever it is, yeah. And I've been on the road, starting on the road a little bit more lately, but I have a couple of prophecies I want to read to you as I began to appreciate prophecies that were given. The Lord began to speak to me about them, and he said, that's a blueprint for your life. Now, I know you may not have this many prophecies over your life, but that just says you got less responsibility than me. I'm not a kid at this anymore. I don't get goosebumps reading them. I just know if I get a real prophecy that comes from somebody that I trust, these are primarily Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy's prophecies to me. That's all I carry with me. And I go over them because there's a lot more in them than I have received. There's another area where we just are sort of slack. We hear a prophecy. I'm talking about personal prophecy now. I'm not challenging anybody, but when you see this, you say, well, I never got that many. Maybe you don't need that many. I don't know what your responsibility in the body of Christ, but really this just means in essence, it's more work for me because God expects me to rise up and fulfill these things. Not being negative, just telling the truth. I'm not a play with it person, never have been. Wasn't a play with it drug addict. I'm certainly not a play with it prophet either. But the Lord told me after many years, he said, if you'll read them and study them more efficiently than you have, so I got rebuked. Then he said, but there's a lot more in there that you haven't really thought about like you should have, so I want you to read them more frequently. So I've been doing that ever since really Dad went home, because I realized I'm not going to get any more prophecies from him. And secondly, I don't want to get emotional that I wasn't going to be able to have his hands on me either when he's gone and receive the impartations that I received. But I want to read four prophecies here. They won't take real long. I just highlighted different parts of them. This was given in 2002 in Abakan, Russia, in Siberia. I was with him three times in that place. He said, these are the men I'll send out all over the world with special anointings. Special anointing, special works of God, special acts of God will flow through their ministries. These are the men of these last days that are appointed and anointed by the power of God to do the acts of God, who yield themselves to the acts of God. Signs, miracles, healings, and women there will be. Who are these women? Who are these women that God is raising up in these last days? I'm telling you, God's raising up ladies. I mean, I've never seen it on this fashion. We've got several that I'm mentoring right now. They don't even come to my church. One of them's his daughter. And another one's Dennis's daughter, Pastor Dennis Adibal. And some two in my church, my daughter, my biological daughter, too. Then this other prophecy came in Kuwait. These are all out-of-the-country prophecies. You know, if I hadn't made the effort to go, I wouldn't have got it. And this first prophecy I read was only there was, I think, five of us preachers in the back room with him when he gave that to us. And I don't think most of those men made it to the end of Dad's life. Maybe one did, and I'm thinking the rest of them all flaked out. So you got to stay with it. Yeah. Don't take this away from my teaching time. I'm just talking. But if you stay with things, you'll be all right. You just got to learn to stay with it. I don't quit for any reason, for any cause. You know, I buried my wife last September, and I just going on. That's what I'm doing. I'm just thinking about fulfilling the will of God in my life. But this happened in Kuwait. It's a long way over there to Kuwait, I'm telling you. It's a long trip. But it says, as you have walked in the footsteps, Dr. Dufresne speaking, he gave the first one, he gave this one. As you've walked in the footsteps of the prophet, he pointed to himself, I was laying on the ground, he was talking to me. I was laying on the ground because he touched me in the head and I fell out. But I wasn't out. I was looking at him when he began to say this. As you've walked in the footsteps of the prophet pointed to himself, you began to make your own footsteps as a prophet. That was in 2004. I get rebuked every time I read that I have not been further along in this in all these years since then. But I am moving ahead. And sometimes, you know, here's the way we think as Americans. Everything's got to be like by next Thursday or it isn't incredible. I'm talking to everybody. Don't be close to me because I'm talking real. We got instant everything. I just stay with it. That's why I get it. And he said, the healing anointing that has come and gone in your life, you went in and out of it, has come to abide. And that certainly ramped up since then. And also the ministry of the prophet is much more effective now in me because I've tried to pay attention. Now, these next two are from Pastor Nancy to me. I was here at the April 3rd, 2011. I think four services with you on angels back in that day. And Dad, he was here too. I was shocked that he stayed home to be around, that it was wonderful. But Pastor Nancy ministered to me in that meeting. She said, another place in the Spirit, in Revelation, in seeing and knowing, and in the prophet's office. So I've come into that now. There's still more, but I've come into a different place in that since that's been, 12 years ago, 11 years ago, something like that. And then she ministered to me, I don't have the date on this, but she said there's going to be more angels when you travel, and that's certainly true today. So I'm going to talk to you about angels go to church. And you need to start realizing whether you see them or not, it's not the issue. It's whether you believe in them is the issue. Now, people always ask me, well, what did that angel look like? You're asking the wrong question. It's not what he looked like. That didn't have any bearing on anything. What did he say to me? That's the thing you should have asked me. But we're so carnal sometimes, that's the only way we think about things in the five physical sense realm. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ in a lot of ways. They don't believe God because they can't see it. But Jesus said, blessed is he who has not seen and yet believed. I'm not trying to rebuke you, but if you get rebuked, just take it. Yeah, if I step on your toes, just tie it tight and just go ahead with it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I've not got a tremendously long message today. I don't think it'll be that way. Colossians 1:16, and let me say this before I read it. Pastor Andy Silva, which many of you remember, was a pastor in Deming, New Mexico. He was also the mayor of that city, and he was in a meeting with me with Dad Dufresne. I think we're at Pastor Eberle's, and we were having breakfast at the hotel. I was. He came in and said, hey, can I sit with you? And I said, sure, come on over. So he sat down and he said, somebody told me you know a little bit about angels. I said, a little bit. That's just that, about a little bit. And he said, I wanted to ask you a question. I got two angels that work with me in the mayoral office. When I go to church, they're never there. I said, that's pretty easy, really. They're not called to help you in your ministry to the church. They're called to help you in your ministry to the government of that city. That would just be off the cuff. But I said, I'll find a verse to prove what I said. Just give me a week or two. So I found this verse. Let me read it to you. Colossians 1:16, the King James Bible. For by him were all things created. You could even translate it, were all beings created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So there are invisible beings in this planet, whether you see them or not. Most people won't, probably. But I operate in discerning of spirit. So when I'm in the spirit, there's things I see, angelic and demonic. I'm glad I'm not operating in it 24/7. I don't want to have to handle that. I don't know that Jesus operated in it 24/7. He had the spirit without measure, but if you read his workings, I have to agree with me, I think, unless you're not thinking right. Now this has nothing to do with wrestling with these things. You think Ephesians 6 says that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This verse doesn't say we're wrestling about anything. So my translation of this would be, he's talking about good beings, good angels, the elect angels, all different rankings. You know, just like if you were a senator or president of a country, or prime minister, whatever your title is, irrelevant. If you have authority, if you're a godly person, then the angels would help you. If you're ungodly, the devils will help you. Yeah. And there's things that rule over different cities. They're known for good and bad, and some of them are known for a lot of bad stuff. But it says, for by him were all beings created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Again, I want to make you understand, they're unseen but not unreal. Sometimes you think because you can't see into that realm, it must not exist. The truth is that unseen realm is affecting your life every day you live, for good or for evil, unless you know how to deal with the devil. I'm not talking about the devil right now. I mean, to give you insight, I'm going to talk about that maybe tomorrow night. If you need deliverance, come prepared to receive. You mean I might need deliverance? Well, probably if you act like that. You know, all the crazy people are not locked up. That's kind of raw, but I meant it. All right. Whatever level of unsoundness you're walking in, that can be fixed. All right. It says whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities. And that's what Pastor Andy was dealing with, a prince over a municipality. I called him, read that verse to him, explained that to him, principality. He wasn't ignorant. He was ignorant about that. He just wanted to know what I thought. I said, well, they're not called to help you in the ministry. They're called to help you in the government. He said, our powers, all things were created by him and for him. We're not wrestling with these groups here. There are different angelic beings over different regions, different cities, different families that are trying to help us. Are you still with me? I just wanted you to see, just because they're unseen doesn't mean they're unreal. Actually, I'd like to say it this way, from studying it for 40-some years, demonic, the unseen world, let me just say it that way. The demons and angels, there's so much in that other realm, but it's so highly regulated in that unseen realm. It's not like us. You know, people kind of live slipshod and whatever, make up reasons why things happen. Well, there's always a reason things happen, believe me. And maybe you opened a door you didn't know you opened. Because you talk wrong, or you think wrong, or you believe wrong, or you've been ornery, or you've been in strife, or you've been in hatred, been in bitterness. I was a pastor for a long time. Some of my people were divorced 25 years. They still hated that dude. Still hated that lady. If they brought it up, they were ready to just strangle somebody. So they were living in unforgiveness, which is a premium way the devil gets in your life. I made my mind up 20 years ago when I figured that out. I just forgave everybody in my past, everybody today, and all the stuff that's going to happen. I already am there. I just forgive everybody for their goof-ups. I'm not going to hold it against people. You'll be free if you live like that. I saw some good things in the medical world. When my wife was sick, I saw some terrible things in the medical world. I just had to forgive everybody. Or go through my life bitter. And I'm not going to do that. God wouldn't want me to, neither would she. I don't know if you're following me yet. You ought to settle some things before you get in a tight spot, then you don't know what you believe. I settled a lot of things 30 and 40 years ago when I started in this, that I was going to live and not die. And I was going to be a forgiving person. Then I reassessed it about 20 years ago, and I saw the significance of unforgiveness in humans' lives, including my own. I said, Father, I forgive everybody of everything. I don't care what they've done to me, what they've said about me. I don't get on the internet. I don't care what people think of me, good, bad, or ugly. I just don't pay attention to it. I appreciate Morgan giving me a nice introduction. I know it came from her heart. I appreciate it. But I'm not living on what she said. I'm living on what I know in here. That's not a put down to her, but you just get your head out of the clouds and just get down and where we live. I appreciate her kindness. But at the same time, I'm not moved by people appreciating me or not appreciating me. I had some of my best friends lie about me, print things about me, say things about me. All right, I'll get back to my message. No, I'm still on it. Go back to Genesis 28 with me, and I'm starting down this trail with you on purpose. And then I'm going to minister to some people in a little bit. But go to Genesis 28. And the subject today is angels go to church. Angels go to church. Genesis 28. We're going to look at several scriptures to prove that I'm not just making this up. But here in Jacob's life, in Genesis 28, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that Jacob, verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, I'm going to tell off on myself. One time I was studying that, verse 12, and I read it just like I did to you. And the Lord said, you read it right, but you don't think right. Read it again out loud to yourself and to me. I figured he already knows what it means, but anyway. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He said, you still don't have it. Read it again. I read it the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. He said, Michael, I'm going to keep you on this until you figure it out. I was hoping it wouldn't be 100 times, but anyway. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up. This was my seventh time reading it. On the earth. See, in my mind, I read it accurately. But I'm thinking God cut a hole out of heaven, dropped a rope down, a rope ladder, till it hit the top of the grass. And the angels came down and went back up. But just, it doesn't say that at all. It says just the opposite. Says this ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending, look at me, ascending and descending. The reason they ascended first is they went somewhere to visit, but they came right back down because this is where they live. I don't know if you realize, not all the angels don't live in heaven. I'm so much not concerned so much about heaven, I'm not there yet. But it really doesn't bother me because, you know, and you lose your angel once you go to heaven, the one that was with you in the earth, because he stays in this planet. This is his territory. I could spend an hour, but I haven't got time. Buy my book. It'll explain much more. But I saw this, the angels of God ascending and descending. It's like Pastor Dennis. He lives in Texas. I live in Indiana. He comes up to visit, but he doesn't live with me. He goes back to Texas because that's where he lives. I got a great son and daughter in Mexico City. I went down to visit them recently, then I came back up to where I live because that's where I live. But these angels were already in the planet. I want you to see that. I could take an hour and teach you, but I'm just doing this quickly here. And the ladder was set up on the earth, and so they went up and came right back down because this is their place of habitation. And I'll just make a comment here. I haven't got time to delve into it. If your angel lived in heaven, he couldn't protect you because you're living in this planet, aren't you? Anybody living in heaven yet that's here today? I'm connected to heaven. God didn't come to take me to heaven as much as he came to put heaven in us. That's why we're so slow to get this. We don't realize we can have heaven on earth. Well, you had a thing up on your bulletin board, days of heaven on the earth. That was even Old Testament people. What do you think we ought to have? We're in a better covenant, better promises, better blood, better mediator, better intercessor. But the angels are here to protect us and help us in this planet. You say, do you ever teach on anything apart from angels? Sometimes. But I know, God, that we don't have what he wants us to have out of this message. I've been studying on this and preaching this since 1980. I can't tell you how many messages I preached on angels. I'm getting a little better. Thank God you didn't have me back in 80. Okay, let me read on down here a little bit. Look at verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, God speaking to Jacob. Will keep thee in all places whither you go, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. That's why I mentioned the prophecies. There's certain prophecies I have that help me go further, help me to see if I'm accomplishing what I should be. And if I'm falling short, then I reassess myself, reevaluate myself, and do what it takes to catch up. I'd better be a little behind that I wouldn't like to be out beyond God, because then you're on your own, honey. If you want to be, you know, get beyond that, then you're just out there. God didn't tell you to do that, but you're out there. So you might have to take care of yourself, because God hadn't promised to take care of what he didn't author. Preaching real good here. And then verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord, because remember he had a dream, he was sleeping, but he had this dream, or a vision you might call it, but he was asleep, and he saw this. Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I'm glad he figured that out. And I knew it not, but he didn't understand that at first. The Lord was in that place. Now watch what I'm going to say. And he was afraid, verse 17, or reverence. He had reverence for God. And he said, how dreadful. That's a poor translation of that word. In the Hebrew, it's awesome. How awesome is this place where God's at? And watch what he said. This is none other but the house of God. Now, he's the only one there that we know other than the angels, but what is the house of God? 1 Timothy 3:15, anybody know what that says? The house of God is the church. 1 Timothy 3:15, you can look it up later, write it in your notes. So this happened at church. This revelation, this dream happened at church, where he realized the angels were there with him at church. Angels go to church. It was only one member right there, Jacob, but it's still called the church. And watch what else it says. And this is the gate of heaven. I said this in my book many years ago. Things from heaven come through the church because it's the gate and launches out into your community. The power of God, the anointing of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the power. And it goes out into the nations from the church. Doesn't come from our government, it comes from the church. We're the church. The church is the gate of heaven. Heavenly things can't get in this planet unless we allow it. So he had an experience that happened at church. In his situation, he was sleeping. I know that doesn't sound good at church, but he had this vision, this dream, and it revealed to him all about the angels were with him. I think it was chapter maybe 32 or 33, he wrestles with this angel. And not only did he wrestle, he prevailed. I know it's hard for your brain to think. Get out of your head, get down here. I know a lot of things down here I don't know in my head yet. Get out of your head. Dad Dufresne, he used to hit people in the head and say, get out of your head. He did that with my wife for about 8 times in a row, and I was glad he didn't have to do it to me. I got rebuked enough just hanging around. I got straightened out by what he preached. I made note of that. Oh, that's me. I better correct that. And occasionally it was personal. He dealt with me privately. But I'm glad he dealt with me. I wouldn't be the person I am today if he hadn't. And I see now, looking back, I was a prophet, but God put me with a prophet because I could need to be mentored as a prophet. And I'm surprised he didn't hit me in the head, because I was more in my head back in those days than I am today. I couldn't even have been a good prophet staying in my head all the time. I had 2 sides to me, but most of it was in my head. Anyway, moving right along here. In verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel, which literally translated the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 says the church is the house of God. So I'm talking about you. This Old Testament, how much more would it be true of us in the church that we've got angels? You know, I don't know if you realize or not, all of you have an angel, at least one. And he comes with you when you go to church, because he's hopeful somebody's going to say something he could act on. You should have been talking all the time to him. Not talking about your problems, talking to him about the answer. Now, angels have been with us all along. It's kind of like electricity. You know, electricity would have worked in 1700 if somebody had known it existed and how to operate in it. You know, it didn't just get invented because they figured it out. Somebody began to explore that avenue and realize what would work. What would work, that electricity, where we could get use out of it. And it's the same for the angels. I'm just trying to help us to see they're with us today in this meeting.
Amen.
All right, let's go to something else here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That gives you a clue where to go. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to straighten out some theology that's inappropriate. Although Ecclesiastes is a good book, but that's Old Testament. And you have to realize you have to rightly divide the Word of God or it won't work for you. There's nothing wrong with using the Old Testament. I've just been there with you, other than my first scripture, because I'm talking about things will work by principle, too. But I'm not under that old covenant. I hear preachers wanting to sell a prayer shawl to us. What a con. God will hear me naked in the shower, just for your information. Don't think about that, but just realize what I'm saying. Come back. I said that for a purpose. Somebody want to sell me holy water from the Jordan? And there's no such thing. I don't care what river it came out of. I don't fall for silliness. Ecclesiastes 5. Let's look here. There's another verse in the chapter about angels in the church. Verse 1 and 2, keep your foot when you go to the house of God, which is what? The church. Oh, I'm going to say, the house is what?
The church.
The church. I've told you that 3 times already. Just want to make sure you're listening.
Yeah.
It's 1 Timothy 3:15 is the verse. I'm just giving that to you.
Yeah.
But I'm referring to it throughout this message.
Amen.
Keep thy foot when you go to the house of God or the church, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. If we're not careful how we talk in church, even the preachers, they can be causing a lot of problems because they're not preaching the Word. They're preaching their philosophy of the Word or what they learned at seminary. Be not rash, verse 2, with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and you're upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Now that's not trying to put us on restriction, but we need to evaluate what we're talking about. And what are we basing that on? The circumstances? Or what it seems like, what it looks like, what it feels like? Or are we giving the word because this is what's true? This is truth. Truth always trumps what is true to your perception. Or what you think you heard somebody say. Stay with the word. And he's telling us, let's be a little more careful about saying things. Let our words be few. And then go down to verse 6 here, verse 5, let's kick it up to, better is that thou shouldest not vow or say I'm going to do something or another than that you should vow and not pay. So it's better if you don't commit to something if you're not going to fulfill it, because then you train yourself to be a liar. And you break that rule over and over again, you just become a continual liar. Takes over more of your life you lie about and other things you lie about. I'm not calling you liars, but if the shoe fits, man, take it. I'm just trying to help us, because when we get to the end of this, we're going to see our words, your words, my words, are controlling their activity or restraining them. Work for us. And if something's against us, it's not the angels, because they won't do that. They don't have that in their makeup. The elect angels don't have that in their program, in their computer. They've been charged by God to help us, to serve us, to be a blessing to us. They're not even in our realm. There's things that we know they don't know, they desire to see, but they can't understand, because we're the body of Christ and we're sons and daughters of God now. We got bammed up. We got whatever you call that, raised up in a different level. All right. Verse 6, this is what I want to say. Suffer not thy mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Sometimes if we're talking wrong, then it's going to allow our flesh to dominate us. You know, I'd like to quit doing that, but it's just such a preeminent thing in my life. I've tried to quit that, and I've been unable to. Well, you see, you're just allowing yourself to get into a mode where you feel like you have no authority over that. I'm not here to teach on authority to this service. I might teach Tuesday on that. We'll see. But watch this. Neither say thou before the angel. Now, where are they at? I'm going to go back to verse 1, if you can help me here. Church. One person said it quickly. Church. Okay. So don't say before the angel at church that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of your hands? Now, let me clarify something. This is Old Testament theology, and it's not accurate, because we know from John 10:10 that Jesus came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Really, the Greek says till it overflows, but the devil, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything in my life that gets in my life that kills, steals, or destroys, I automatically know that's not God. I'm going to say that again. Anything that comes into my life that tries to kill, destroy, or whatever, hinder stuff, then that's not God. I know it immediately because John 10:10. They didn't know John 10:10 this day. So they just blame God for everything. That's why I say preachers should get back in the Old Testament and try to teach the Old Testament without going through Calvary and on into the letters, because that's what we are as the church, the letters. What I mean the letters, you know, Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, John. I maybe left a few out, but you understand. That's the only place in the Bible that's going to tell you what you have in Christ. You're not going to find that out in Matthew. It wasn't available. We're going to have to get after Jesus is resurrected and give his blood back to us, which that lady sang so wonderfully today. Whoever you are that sang that song, I appreciate the healed by the blood, cleansed by, and it made me cry. And then Morgan got up and she made me cry more. I'm teasing you, sweetie. I'm just teasing. I appreciate people that appreciate me. You know, I do. But let's get back in here. Neither say thou before the angel. So the angel was listening to what we're saying at church. And I know you guys know this. I know Pastor Nancy's a very spiritual lady, and Dr. Dufresne was very spiritual. He always criticized songs that we sang, not in this church, but in churches where he traveled, that were unbelief. And sometimes he'd tell him, I mean, they'd introduce him and they just sang a song full of unbelief. He'd say, what's wrong with you people? You're not singing redemption. You're singing, oh, it's always me. What happened to Jesus said it'd be light and easy. Now, there are challenges in life and there are tests in life. And the devil isn't dead. He's not in hell even. He's alive. And he tries to be against us, to defeat us and keep us out of our redemption. What's really, the angels are a part of that. They're a part. We've already come unto the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, the blood of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. See, that's Hebrews. That's Hebrews. I always tell people, stay in Hebrews, dear. If you stay in Hebrews, you can figure all this out. The book of Hebrews. So anyway, they said, wherefore should God be angry at you? I'd say he doesn't approve of your voice if you're speaking contrary to the word. But he said you shouldn't have to say, I was a mistake, I shouldn't have said that. If you do get that, you just say, Father, I'm sorry, I repent. I plead the blood against that comment and wash it right out. You know, the blood has the power to do that. Yeah. All right. So we're talking here that angels go to church. I've shown you two scriptures already. Let's go to another one here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know some of this, you say, well, I heard you teach this before. Well, good, you're getting a refresher course. It won't be so hard to swallow, maybe. Give you a little milk with it and let it wash down. And maybe not too much milk, but anyway. 1 just had this on my heart. This is a brand new message. You just wrote it last night, if you care to care about it. Not better to me, but I had plenty of notes, a whole thing full, but I just wrote this last night in the motel room. And he said, I want you to talk about angels go to church. And, you know, I could have said, well, I've taught an area of that, and he didn't say that. So I said, okay, yeah, I'm glad to do it. So 1 Corinthians 4:9, I've shared this here before, but it's going to be good. Some of you maybe don't know me or don't know how I think, and maybe you're glad that I'm here. Maybe you're not wondering. You're still wondering. I'm on borderline with I'm kind of teasing you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, or we might say the ministry, fivefold, last, as it were, appointed to death. He just says that because the apostle is number one, prophets and all that, but the ministry appointed to death. In other words, there's things we're going to have to deal with that come against us that would try to hurt or injure or take us totally out, but we know how to handle it now, so we're going to get on the other side of it. That's another thing I settled about 15 years ago. I'm going to get on the other side of everything that I'm thrown at. Anything that's thrown at me, I'm going to get on the other side of it. I made my mind up a long time ago, and sometimes I just spend a lot of time just praying. And I said, if this and that happens, I'm just going to go on. Just going to go on. You know, I love this couple right here dearly. They're covenant people to me, and they're loyal. But, you know, I would say this publicly. If they decided they didn't like me anymore and want to do something else, well, that's fine. I'm just going to go on. Just going to go on with my good self. I know they wouldn't, but I'm using it as an illustration. You got to settle some things for goodness sake. And you got to cherish what God says you are instead of what somebody that kind of feeds your ego. They make you feel real spiritual because of the way they talk about you. But you know who you really are. And if you are really spiritual, that's wonderful. Take the encouragement. But don't live in just the encouragement. Just live in the revelation you have with God of what He's called you to be, what He's put in you to do, and don't let any man deter you from that. Not everybody loves me. I'm okay with that. I'd like everybody to love me, but I'm not that crazy anymore to think people would do that. Yeah, I'm just being honest. I had people know me a lot better than you did that turned on me, stuck a knife in me and turned it several times. Okay, I just want to help you to learn to be a little tougher than you think you are. Everybody likes to be encouraged. I'm not a crazy person, just so you know that. You got to learn some things, and you got to set some things in concrete in your life. Then pour steel rebar and put extra concrete around it. So you're not going to be swayed no matter what happens. I remember somebody asked Oral Roberts one time, what are you going to do if you pray for somebody and they die on the spot? I'm going to say, next. What a revelation. That's the way I feel too. I haven't had that happen, but I already resolved I'm going to, if that happens, I'm going to say, next. That's not making fun of people dying. See, you got to get things resolved on the inside of you. Or whatever's going to take you out might be a lot less than that in most people's lives. I had a good friend in the ministry. I loved him dearly. He was somewhat of a spiritual guy, but he got offended. He got offended as a preacher. I said, you just need to stand up to those two women in your church and tell them to shut up or get out. That's all you need to do. And bring their husbands in with them because their husbands know them. They'll probably agree with you. I'm not down on women. I just gave you the prophecy God's raising up women. But see, he got offended and left the church. Church could have been his the rest of his life. He went to two or three other churches and continued to be offended over some silly person that That's was right. a sheep trying to be somebody they're not. Who told you you're supposed to boss the pastor? But see, he wore his feelings on his sleeve. And anytime anybody raised up and said anything, well, I'm quitting, I'm going. Him and his wife both, they were that way. And he started going to I don't know if I should tell you this, a Methodist church. And I called him and said, you're not going to live if you stay there. You're not going to live. I'm not going to reveal his name, but he said, well, I don't know what to do. I get out of there. If you want to live, get out. Did they preach healing there? No. Get out of there. He already's got cancer. And he stayed in there, and they just cut him and cut him and cut him, and he finally died. I cried all the way over to his house about an hour and a half from me. I was going to go visit him, Lord, and I was crying. The Lord said, you can cry if you want, but it's not going to change anything. I gave him plenty of time to repent, and he's still adamant about it. Just go and have a good time if you can with him. Yeah. Encourage him. Well, go ahead. You know, I learned that from people. When they say go ahead, they don't believe anything. I remember a lady caught up with adultery, married to another person that I knew quite well. And I said to her, you just need to repent. There's somebody else in your life, isn't there? No, they're not. I said, yes, there is. I'm not going to call you a liar, but I tell you, everything in me is telling me there's some other person. Of course, it all came out later.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and lay hands on me if you want. I said, that's what I'm talking about. How are you going to get free with that attitude? If I was Jesus himself, you wouldn't be free with an attitude like that. I'm trying to act like Jesus to help you. I begged her to quit. Go home, love your husband again. Let me cast that devil out of you. That spirit of lust. But see, she didn't want it. Started giving herself more and more. And left a great pastor for a man that was a criminal. I'm just talking. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But let's go back to this and read it. 1 Corinthians, you draw that out of me for some reason. 1 Corinthians 4:9, for I think that God set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle. And that word in the footnote here says the Greek GR means a theater, but because I don't trust footnotes normally, I went ahead to my Greek New Testament, looked it up, and it does mean theater. We have become a theater to the world and to angels and to men. Now, what do you do at a theater? What have you been doing with me? You've been looking at me and listening to me. And so the angels are here with us today, and they're looking and listening, hoping that you'll say something. And I'm saying something that they could, you know, and not saying something foolishly, but saying what the Word says. You've given charge to them, Father, over me to keep me in all my ways. Every day I get up and say, Father, thank you for the angels, my secret service, guys. And they know how to handle themselves. And they make me free from all injury, harm, or destruction. I got that right out of the Bible. I just looked up one of the words in the Bible in a dictionary, and that's what it said. Be free from all injury, harm, or destruction. I've been saying that for 25 years. So I'm just talking to you here. So we're a theater unto men. Men look at us too. And the world's looking at us sometimes to see if we're the real deal or we're just playing. But the angels we're a theater to them. So they're here today looking at us and listening to what I'm saying, particularly because they told me in 83, that they were excited that I was teaching about them, for they've desired to be involved in the body of Christ. And they won't let us. That's what the angel said to me. They won't let us. I didn't realize. I heard him right, but it took me 4 months to get those last four words in me and understand what he was saying. In other words, you have authority you don't know you have. And if you don't talk right, they're not going to work for you. They're not going to work against you, but the devil and his crowd, they're also listening. And I've come to believe that every person born on the planet gets an angelic being that's set to help you and bless you and protect you, but you also get a familiar spirit that's familiar with your family and all the quirks in your family. You know what I mean? Quirks, the weirdness, maybe from a relative or something that's trying to get on you, and you got to deal with that. If you haven't ever dealt with it, you should. My wife and I, before we had children, I took a piece of paper, wrote Galatians 3:13-14 at the top. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus became a curse for me, that we might be free from it. So I listed everything in my family that I knew, even mental problems. You may think I got one, but I don't. Okay. But I did have, when I was a younger man, led by my emotions, up and down, in and out. Not like that anymore. I just live by faith every day.
Amen.
Every day is the same. Even if I'm having a funeral.
Yeah, so good.
But my point was, my wife listed things in her family, whether it's cancer, lung problems, different. And then we just put it to the bottom and everything else that we can't remember. And I laid hands on it and prayed over my wife and I and said, we stop it right now. Amen. For my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren all the way. Amen. So we just made that a part of our life. So according to this verse, the angels are watching us really continually. Are you listening? Yes. You know, your angel's trying to follow you around and help you. Now, get a picture of that. There's an angel following you around trying to help you to get things out of your life that is going to damage you. And maybe you didn't realize that. You need to talk to him scripturally. And I've shared this verse here 100 times about 2 Timothy 4:18. I'm delivered from every evil work and preserved unto the coming of Jesus. That means if either I'm done with my ministry, I take my hat off and lay down and just leave. I told my wife, if I go before you, you make sure you bring all the grandkids in, yeah, in the bedroom. I'm going to pray over them and lay hands on them, yeah, and declare things, and then I'm going to leave.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just going to leave because I'm done.
Yeah.
But I'm not near done.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm a pretty young guy, really. I'm 72.
Yeah, come on.
I just feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah,
amen, amen.
Amen.
Wait till I'm 102. Come hear me talk about angels. All right. Well, we got to hurry up here. You guys pulled me aside here. Quit doing that. Hang on. Go back to Exodus 23. Just got a few more scriptures, and I'm going to minister to some people. Is that okay? Okay. Exodus 23. Again, this is Old Testament, but I know if they could have that in that covenant, we have that plus, because the new covenant is better. Nothing's better unless it's better. That means if you got paid $20 an hour, you got paid $50 an hour, which would you pick? $50 an hour. Because it's better. You have more you could do with that. And if you're the right kind of person, that would bless humanity. If you're stingy and selfish, you just spend it on your own lust. That depends on the character of the person. But for people that love God, want to be a part of what he's doing, and give in every offering you can, and bless humanity, and be a giver. That's something else I said a long time back. I'm going to stay on this side of the ledger, which is my giving. I'm not even going to think about the receiving, because I know if I give, and I sow, and I seed, the harvest is coming, the seeds are going to grow up, the receiving's coming. I never have to worry about that. If I take care of the giving side of life, even if somebody said, well, you did that, somebody may take advantage. Nobody can take advantage of me if I'm a giver. I may bless this person, it may be somebody entirely different that says, I want you to give this guy $1,000. And I only gave that guy $100. What was it Morgan was talking about? If you sow liberally, then you reap liberally. I mean, the biggest giver in my church doesn't even come to my church. He only showed up 3 times to give money. Then he left. He was the biggest giver in my church that year. $43,600 he gave, put a little envelope in the door of the church. And I didn't even know the guy's name. He didn't go to my church. He didn't know I was behind because I put a new extension on my church. And I was about $70,000 behind at that point. He gave $43,600. He came the next Sunday, I was taking an offering up. He gave another $12,500. I mean, things just happen when you're over here. Hallelujah. I mean, well, praise God. I better get back to my business. But the angels will help you prosper. If you give, you tithe or something, and you say, Father, the angels go out and help bring the finances in that I need. All right, Exodus 23:20. Let's look at this quickly. 20 through 23, I think it is. I will send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, when I saw that verse many years ago, I said, well, Father, I'm going to send the angels ahead of me to go where I'm going to. I sent them here before I got here.
Yeah. Amen.
Angels here to help me minister to you effectively, prepare the place. I don't know if they prepared the songs, but it sure was a good song service today. Even what that song you sang about the name, that was powerful. What a wonderful name. And then that lady sang about the blood. I mean, you ring my bell, knock my hat in the creek, and cause all kinds of stuff to happen when you sing about the blood. I'm from Indiana. Don't hold that against me. But so now this is interesting. Angels help get you to the place that God's prepared. And this is what I pray. Father, send the angels before me. And so when I get there Sunday morning, they'll be there, but also they'll help me get to a place in the public services that Pastor Nancy's asked me to do, and also in the Bible school from starting tomorrow morning through Thursday morning. As it stands, I'm going to take all 12 hours if I can stand it. Amen. Or if you can stand me. And I'm going to be talking about angels and demons. Anyway, better hurry up and sign up for something. I don't know about that. Beware of him. Talk about the angel. Beware, and obey his voice. Provoke him not. And I want to share with you, how do you provoke your angel? By speaking words against the covenant. By speaking things that are contrary to what the Bible says about you. When you start downgrading yourself, then that's terrible, because you're provoking your angel. Your angel's sent to help you prosper, to help you be promoted, to get things to you that you need for your health and your longevity and everything else I could mention. When you say, well, I don't ever get a good job, you shut your angel down. He was just working on getting you a better job, more pay, better whatever. And you may be the least equipped to do that job, but God gave you favor with that guy. And he said, I don't know why I'm hiring you, but I want you to work for me. My sister's in heaven now, but God put her on my heart many years ago. I didn't know she went through anything. She worked for a guy, and he was inappropriately doing things around her. I'll just say that much. And she told me, and I was praying for her in the middle of the night, and I called her the next day, Teresa, are you believing for something? Well, you didn't know this, Michael. I'd left my last boss because he didn't know how to keep his hands to himself. And I went to interview for this job, and the guy told me, you're the least qualified for this job, but I like you. I feel like you have character, and I'm going to give you the job. I said, well, I was just praying for you last night. She said, I just got hired this morning. I said, hey. And she didn't believe in speaking in tongues, so I told her, I spoke in tongues over you too. All right. Don't provoke your angel. How about this? You don't say anything to him. I would say it this way, not when I wrote my book, but since then. My words, that's what the Lord told me, your words, Michael, based on my word, are the fuel that releases the angels to go. Your words, Michael, based on my word, is the fuel the angels run on to get things done for you. Are you listening to me? Man, praise God. So it says, but if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy unto your enemies, an adversary unto your adversaries. For my angel shall go before you and bring you in. And he lives all these ites, people, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and all that, and I will cut them off. In other words, he's going to bring you through all the difficulty that may be right, and you're going to end up on the other side of that. Hallelujah. You know that's important. Let's go to Psalm 103. I don't know when I started. I guess somebody could tell me. I'm trying not to run into overtime with you. Psalm 103, look at this with me. I just got two more scriptures, I think. Psalm 103. Let me find that. Here it is. Psalm 103, verse 20. Then you might be ready to turn to Luke 17 when we're out of Psalm 103, verse 20. I'm putting some things together to you. Still about the angels. They go to church, and they want to help us. It says, let's take verse 19 and 20. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. In other words, because the kingdom we're going to see in a minute is within us, that kingdom has the potential to rule and prevail over everything else that tries to come against you. Your health, and if you're a young person, you're not married, pay attention to that. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, one of the young girls in my church. I said, what about this? Somebody told me you got a boyfriend. Yeah, why don't you bring him to church? I want to scan him. You know how TSA has a one? Beep, beep. What's that? Beep, beep. What's that? Beep, beep. What's that? Yeah, she said, well, I'm not going to bring him. He don't want to come. But that's what she said to me. He's a good kisser. I said, honey, you could train anybody to be a good kisser. Does he love God? Does he love his family? What's the matter with you, girl? He's a good kisser. What a lame comment. A good kisser's not going to pay your bills. It might be fine when you're kissing, but that's all that goes with it, baby. Listen to me. Wow. And some people have done that to me in my church. Young people, I say, you know, and I'd warn the girls, be crazy of the guys. They're all nuts. They're just nutty. They don't have any thinking at all when it comes to a girl, how to treat them or anything. Anyway, what am I talking about today? Maybe I should have saved that for Bible school. I don't know. Okay, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. The Hebrew says they're mighty in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening. And by the way, that word hearkening means to hear and to do. Not just hear it, but they hear it and do the voice of his word. See, when you put a voice on his word, the angels are listening, and they will take heed to that, and they will do what you say. They'll do what you say. I get every plane I get on in my entire life for 25, 30 years now, maybe further back than that, I read Psalm 91 or I pray it. Every plane, I hired a plane to bring us out here, me and the Keith and Cynthia, and I said, I want to pray with you pilots before we take off. I do that every trip, and they said, sure, go ahead. I prayed and I said, Father, thank you for the angels. Thank you for good pilots, but thank you for the angels that know how to keep us safe from all injury, harm, or destruction. And Father, we receive their ministry. You know, the Bible says they bear us up. You get it? Okay. But here he's talking about these angels that hearken to the voice of the word. And he's talking about his kingdom. Let's go to Luke 17 real quick here. Luke 17, 21. As we're talking about his kingdom ruleth over all. Isn't that what it said back there? So Luke 17, verse 21. I'm putting these two together. That's how you learn things. Luke 17, 21. It says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So you already have within you, if you're born again, you're in the kingdom. The kingdom is in you. And when you learn to operate on kingdom principles, including the angels, which are part of that kingdom, then you'll prevail over everything. Is that right? His kingdom ruleth over how much? All. How much? All. How much? Even sickness? All. Even deliverance? All. Yeah, everything. If you let it work in you. Angels have been here with us, wanting to serve us and help us all along. I was going to read something else, but I'm going to let that go today. And we'll be here tomorrow night, won't we? I think that's right. Thank you, sir. Now, I'd like you to stand up with me, please.
Thank you for joining us today. To view Dr. Jacob's travel itinerary, order products, and more, please visit cotrin.org/mjm.